All right, I will say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Ayin Beis 72. We are picking up on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis 71b. And let's actually just pick up. Let's pick up again at the two dots on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. We started there yesterday, but we ran into a few lines. But we'll pass that, but we'll pick up from here again. So remember, the Mishnah said, Ganav Mishal Aviv Etalachu Machar. So the Gemara says, this is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 lines up from the bottom. So Bagmini Rav Mirav Nachman. So Rav asked the following Kasha Rav Nachman. Ganav Shor Shoshne Shutvin. If a person, we'll call him Reuven. Call him Reuven. Reuven went ahead and stole a shar that was jointly owned by two partners. We'll call them A and B. And what happened? So he stole it and he slaughtered it. Which means that at this point in time, technically speaking, he's chayiv to arba v'chamisha, to the 4 and 5 time penalty payment. But then he goes ahead and admits his liability to one of the partners. So let's say he goes ahead, he admits his liability to A. So what's that? So remember again, at this point in time, we have a constant mode of knas pater, that when you admit a penalty payment, you are exempt from that penalty payment, which means that the moment that he admits his liability to, let's keep a simple case, if the shor was owned by one person and he were to have stolen it and sold it and then admitted to his crime, the halacha would be that he would be exempt from the penalty payment. So now the shaila is, he admitted the penalty payment ultimately again to one of the partners. So what's the shaila? Mahu chamisha bakar amrachman levelo chamisha chatzai bakar. This presents an interesting case. Why? Because at this point in time, so let's say he was modet to A, he admitted his crime to A, but not to B. So technically speaking, because he was modet to A, he does not owe a 4 or 5 time penalty payment to A. But the shaila is, does he owe it to B? Is there such a thing as a partial 4 or 5 time penalty payment? That's the shayla. So mahu chamisha bakar nachman avlo chamisha chatzai bakar. So the Torah says, no, you have to pay. The only time the Torah mandates a knas is when it's chamisha bakar, when it's five times the amount of the principal. But if the amount of the principal has been halved effectively because you've admitted your liability to one of the partners, then such liability does not exist. Oh, dilma chamisha bakar nachman avafilu chamisha chatzai bakar. Maybe the Torah says you have to pay the 4 or 5 time penalty payment. That means whether it's the full 5 times or half of the 5 times, meaning whether you're paying 4 or 5 times on the full principal, or even if you're paying it on half of the principal. So we'll say, so this is the shayla that Rava asked of Rav Nachman. To which Rav Nachman responds, Amalei, Chamisha Bakar, Amrachman, Avalo Chamisha Chatzai Bakar. So Rav Nachman said, no, the 4 or 5 time penalty payment to Bosai only applies when you are paying 4 or 5 times penalty on the entire principal. But if already half of the 4 and 5 time penalty payment has been forgiven, when we say forgiven, because Moda Bekinas Pater, right, you've gone ahead and you admitted your liability, therefore you are exempt. Therefore, Rav Nachman suggests the entire 4 or 5, the remainder of the 4 and 5 time penalty also what? Also falls off. And therefore, all you would be chayiv in that particular case is to pay for the general theft. So that's Rav Nachman's answer. First wide line, Rav say Ayin Aleph Amud Bey, 71b. So Rava raised the kasha, Ganav Mishal Aviv V'Tavachu Machar. Now, Rav raised the kasha from our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah say? Let's say a person steals from his father. So, right, Reuven stole from his father. V'Tavachu Machar. So he stole from his father, and he stole an animal, stole a shor, and he slaughtered it. Right? I'm sorry. Right, yeah, he slaughtered it and sold it. Stole, slaughtered, sold. V'achar kach meis aviv. And then after the sale, the father died. So what's the halacha? Mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. So the son has to pay a 4 or 5 time penalty payment. Okay, so Bosei says the Gemara, well, let's understand. V'ha hacha kevan de meis aviv. This is an amazing observation. So says the Gemara, now that the father died, so that is the equivalent of what? That's the equivalent of the case of where the thief admitted his liability to one of the partners. They will say, now why is that the equivalent of the case? Watch how this works. When the father dies, well, so remember again, the case over here is where a son is stealing from his father. Let's assume for a moment that there are multiple sons in this picture. Father dies, what happens? Sons inherit the father. Which means that effectively what has occurred over here is what? When the father dies, the son goes ahead and acquires part of the portion, which effectively means that part of the 4 or 5 time penalty payment has what? Has been forgiven. Right? Has been forgiven because now the son owns that chelik. And yet, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah still says the son still has to pay the 4 and 5 times, even though what it really means is he's paying the 4 or 5 times less his portion of the 4 or 5 times to the surviving heirs. So what do we see from here? So apparently then we see from here that when you steal from someone, you steal from partners, and you admit your liability to one of them, you should still have to pay the remaining 4 or 5, the remainder of the 4 or 5 time penalty payment to the surviving partner or to the other partner. To which the Gemara says, V'katani v'shalim. So Amar Lei, to which Rav Nachman will respond, Hacham I ask, and I will say, what's the case over there? Kigon sha'amad aviv bedin. So I will say, no, the case over there is where what? The son stole, sold, and slaughtered the animal of the father. The father took the son to Beis Din, and so therefore, the matter was already brought to Beis Din. Beis Din imposed the liability upon the son, and then what? And then the father died. That's the case, ultimately, again, where the son has to pay the 4 and 5 time penalty payment, because in that case, I will say, what's happened over here? So the legal liability has already been established. Aval lo amad bedin mai. But I will say, let's say again, the son stole, sold, and slaughtered from the father. And what? The father died before it was brought to Beis. And what would be the halacha? So, in that case, you would not pay the Arba V'Chamisha. Why would you not pay the case to Arba V'Chamisha? Because you also remember again, once the father dies, the son inherits at least one chelek. The part that he inherits, he forgives, so to speak, the 4 and 5 time liability for that particular portion. And therefore what? And therefore, halacha lemaisa, again, you see from here, that's when part of the liability is forgiven. What happens? The whole thing is forgiven. Says the Yimar Ihachi, if that's the case, Aditani Seifa, Ganav Mishal Aviv, Umeis, Va'achar Kachtavach Umachar. So we'll say, the Gemara now is quoting from the next Mishnah. If that's the case, when the next Mishnah says the following, if a person went ahead and stole from his father, and then what happens? Umeis, the father died. So the act of theft occurred, then the father died. Then after the death of the father, the son goes ahead and sells it and slaughters it. So what's the halacha? Eino mishalim, or I should say slaughtered it and sold it. Eino mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. In that case, we will say the son does not pay the 4 and 5 time penalty payment. Aisa says the Gemara, v'niflog bididei. Why do you have to introduce a different case? Why don't instead you just subdivide the first case? What was the first case? When is this so that the son is obligated on the 4 and 5 time penalty payment? Kishamad bedin. Bo said that's only ultimately again when the father brought the son to Beis Din. Avalo amad bedin. But if the father did not yet bring the son to Beis Din, Eino Hashem Doshlumi Arba V'Chamisha, then the son is not obligated to pay Arba V'Chamisha. In other words, you don't have to introduce a new case of where the father dies before the sale and slaughtering. Just keep the case the same. Namely, son stole the object, slaughtered it, and sold it. If the father brought him to Beis Din, then what? He has to pay Arba V'Chamisha, even if what? Even if the father subsequently dies. Masha Inkein, if the father did not bring him to Beis Din, and the father dies, he will not have to pay Arba V'Chamisha. Amalei Hachinami, this is true. But I did not Reisha Gana Mishal Aviv, B'tavachu Machar, V'achar Kach Meis Aviv. But since the first case in the Mishnah framed the case as a case of where the son stole from the father, slaughtered and sold it, and then the father died. Therefore, again, Nasiv Sefer, the end of the Mishnah, reads the following, Nami Ganamisha Aviv Umeis Aviv. The case of the Sefer, therefore, wanted to be a similar case of where he stole from the father died, and then Tvicha Umechira took place. So fine, so we'll say, so this is Rav Nachman, therefore, saying Rav Nachman's Shita, therefore, is what? That Lamaise, if you go ahead and you admit liability for Arba V'Chamisha to one of the partners, so once ultimately, again, once he's absolved of his liability to one of the partners, then what? He's absolved of the total liability for the 4 and 5 time penalty payment. So the Rav Nachman said that in the evening. In the morning, Lutzafra, So in the next morning, Rav Nachman comes to the base medrash and he says, I've changed my mind. The halacha is there is partial liability for arba v'chamisha. Therefore, again, what does the Mishnah say? If I steal an animal that belongs to partners and I go ahead and I sell it, I slaughter it and I sell it, and I admit my liability to one of the partners, I am still chayav the 4 and 5 time penalty payment for the percentage ownership of the other partner. Samri lecha ba'arta. So I'm sorry. Nachman said, why didn't I say this yesterday evening? Top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Delo achli bisra de tura. So Rav Nachman said, the truth is, last night, I wasn't able to give a fully formed opinion. Why? Because I didn't get to eat meat. And we can all relate to this, right? So what does this mean? I didn't get to eat meat. So Rashi says, and it's an expression, Delo achli bisra de tura. Lo dikdakti tamo shaldavar. So we'll say this apparently was an expression that meant I didn't get to chew on it. In other words, that I didn't have the time to sufficiently think it through. You know, when I gave my answer last night, so I gave my answer, but then essentially I was able to think this through a bit more and realize that my approach was flawed. We'll say there's an incredible mussar in this statement in general. There's an incredible mussar about the need to go ahead and think things through before we say them. And I will say there's an even bigger mussar of being able to have the strength to say I was incorrect, right? Or to say that, you know what I said the first time wasn't the right approach. I thought about this a little bit more. I went back and I chewed on it a little bit more and I've come to this conclusion. Incredible idea. If Rav Nachman could do it, certainly we could do it. So if that's the case, now that Rav Nachman essentially is saying that Lamaise, again, there is partial liability for Arba Vechamisha, so what is the difference between, Bosei, what the Gemara is calling the Reisha, Reisha is the Gemara is calling our Mishnah, Seifa is the next Mishnah. So what is the chilik between those two Mishnahs? Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Umayshna Seifa, Kevan Dereisha Filo Lo Amad Bedin Kamarachmana, Dechamisha Bakar, Vafilu Chamisha Chatzai Bakar. So Bosei, now that we've established that our Mishnah teaches us that Lamaisa, number one, even if there wasn't a formal Hamad Bedin, in other words, even if the father did not take the son to Beis Din, ultimately, again, there's an obligation for Arba V'chamisha. In other words, even if the father dies before having the ability to take his son to Beis Din, they could still prove a liability for Arba V'chamisha even after the death of the father. And now that we've also proven that what? That there is partial liability for Arba V'chamisha. So, for example, if you were to go ahead and steal an animal jointly owned by partners, and you were to go ahead and admit your liability to one of the partners, as much as you are putter from the Arba V'chamisha liability to that partner, you still have the Arba V'chamisha liability to towards what? Towards the other partner. Now that we've established that, so asks Rashi, he says, "Seifa kishemis aviv v'achar kach tavach u'machar lama lo yishayim la'achav eschalkam." So we'll say, ultimately, again, therefore, in the second Mishnah, which we'll learn in 2 days from now, in the second Mishnah, so why is it that if the father dies, and only after the death of the father, the tvicha and mechira, the slaughter and sell takes place, why should I not have to pay the brothers of the thief, their share of the arba v'chamisha? Amarle, reisha karina be'utvacho kula b'yisura. So also listen to this. So remember, the pasuk, we spoke about this a little bit yesterday, the pasuk says utvacho, when you speak about the stolen animal, it shall be slaughtered. You slaughter it. So the Gemara understands that when are you liable for slaughtering a stolen animal? That's when it's kulo b'yisura. That's only when the entire act of slaughter occurred in a total act of iser. Now we'll say, now what does it mean a total act of iser? So we'll say that would be a case. When is it total act of iser versus not a total act of iser? So watch this. If the son steals the animal from the father and slaughters it while the animal is still, while the father is still alive, so that's called, Rabosai, an act of tvicha, an act of slaughtering that took place in a complete act, a state of iser. Why is it a complete state of iser? Because lemaisa, at the time that I slaughtered it, what happened? The father was alive. If the father was alive, he was the owner of it, and therefore the act of slaughtering, by definition, is an act of complete iser. Masha'inkein, if I slaughter the animal after the death of the father, then Rabosai, is that a complete act of iser? Is that a complete act of iser? No. Why? Because technically speaking, I am a partial owner of that animal because I've been yorish, I've inherited a chilek of that animal. So therefore, the Gemara suggests the following. It's an incredible yisoda. We'll develop this more in the next Mishnah, but essentially what the Gemara is saying is like this. When the Torah prescribes the 4 and 5 time liability for the illegal slaughter and sale of an animal, you're only chayiv arba v'chamisha if that slaughter was absolutely, totally, 100% illegal. But if there was part of that slaughter that was quote unquote legal, then lemaisa there's no liability for arba v'chamisha. Therefore, again, in our Mishnah, where the father is alive at the time of the slaughter, that is a total illegal act of slaughter, and that's going to be chayiv arba v'chamisha. Mashenke, we'll see the next Mishnah, which talks about a case where I both say, what? I stole the animal while the father was alive, but I didn't slaughter it until the father died. So, in that case, already by the father died, remember, this is the son stealing it. Son's a partial owner. If the son's a partial owner, there is no liability ultimately for Arba v'chamisha. Fine. So says the Gemara. So we'll say, just you should know, the way we paskin halacha l'mais in this case, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Rambam says, this is in Hilchos Gneiva, Perek Gima Halacha Yud. Hagonev Shor Shal Shnei Shutfin. If you stole an ox that belonged to two partners, Utvacho Macharo, and you went ahead and you slaughtered it or you sold it, Vahovda Bebezdin Le'echamehen, and you were Mohden Bezdin, you admitted your liability to one of the partners, V'kafar Be'echad, but I will say, still remains steadfast in denying the claim to the other, V'achakach Bo Eidim Shagana V'tavacho Macharo. So I will say, again, remember the way this case plays out is, I steal from Reuven and Shimon. I go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, I'm really sorry for selling, for stealing your shor. But I do not admit liability ultimately again to Shimon. I both say, now this sounds strange because it's a jointly owned shor. So it'd have to be where a situation where the ownership of the shor is not clear either. Then witnesses come along afterwards and testify to the fact that I stole the shor that also belonged partly to Shimon. So Rambam Paskins, Mishalim Lezeshakar Rabo Chamisha Chatzaibaka Va'arba Chatzaiseth. So the way we paskin halacha l'maaseh Rabbi Yosei is that there is partial liability for arba v'chamisha. So for example, if you become putter on part of a claim of a principal, right, of a stolen object, l'maaseh again, you can still be liable for partial arba v'chamisha. That's how we paskin. Fine, says the Gemara. Which is what Rav Nachman said at the end of the day as well. Rav Nachman, after he got to chew on it, came to this same realization. Weiter. So Amrli Rav Chavivi Mechozno Rav Ashi. So Rav Chavivi, I'm sorry. So the Divrei Maaseh over here, Shochei Benimtzei Streifa. Amrli Rav Chavivi Mechozno Rav Ashi. Shmamina. So what do we learn from here? Se'ina l'shchita el l'basof. Supposed to listen to this. So the Gemara says, remember, we are talking about, look at Rashi, Shmamina. Rashi says over here, Shmamina, Midiktani Masnisana Shochet Chulin Ba'azara Chayef. So we'll say, one of the cases of the Mishnah is that if I take an unconsecrated animal into the Beis HaMikdash, and I shecht it, so let's say, one more step. I steal an animal, I take it to the Beis HaMikdash, and I slaughter it in the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say that is a case of what's called Chulin Ba'azara. Right? That's a prohibition. There's a prohibition of shechting unconsecrated animals in the Beis HaMikdash. So both say, so the Mishnah said that even if I do that, I am chayiv arba v'chamisha, chayiv the 4 and 5 time penalty payment. Now the novelty, of course, in that is that there is liability for shechting unconsecrated animals in the Beis HaMikdash, but nevertheless, I will still be chayiv arba v'chamisha. So says the Gemara, Rav Chavivi of Chozna, says Rav Ashi, Shmamina, learn from here what? Eino l'shchita el l'basof. Rav Ashi, now we're going to get into a fascinating machlokes. When is shchita considered to have occurred? At what point in time do we say a shchita is considered to have occurred? So Rav Chavivi of Chozna said to Rav Ashi, see from here that what? That shchita is not considered to have occurred only until the end. Until the end of the act of shchita. Rashi says over here, Eino l'shchita el l'basof. Hilchach kol kama d'tavach d'marika tavach. So we'll say it appears that an act of shechita is only considered to have occurred at the end of the act, and therefore what? Therefore, I both say again, therefore, the entire time that I'm going in and shechting this animal, I'm slaughtering an animal that belongs to someone else. The animal only becomes usser as chulin shenishchetu ba'azara at the end of the shechita. Now this will make sense in just a moment. Di'i yeshna l'shechita mitchila va'atzov, because I will say the other possibility is no. See, what we're going to see right now is that there's a fundamental dispute as to how to understand when does an act of shechita occur. Do we say shechita occurs at the end of the act, or that shechita is a continuous act that starts from the first incision and ends at the end? So says the Gemara over here, because if you say that shechita is a continuous process, that the act of shechita begins from the beginning and concludes at the end, if that's the case, I will say, then what? Kevan deshachat beporta asra. So we'll say, here's the problem. If you say the act of shechita begins literally at the first cut of the animal, then what happens? As soon as you begin to make a nick in the neck of that animal, what happens, we'll say? That animal becomes asr as chulin ba'azara. Once it becomes asr as chulin ba'azara, then what? It becomes asr ba'ana. Once it becomes asr ba'ana, it is removed ultimately again from the domain of the owner. Once it's removed from the domain of the owner, then what? Then I can no longer be chayiv arba v'chamisha for an act of slaughtering. In other words, the only time you become chayiv for an act of arba v'chamisha is if you slaughter an animal that belongs to someone else. But if technically speaking that animal has been removed from the domain of the other, then lemaisa again, there is no longer an arba v'chamish liability. So listen to how profound this is. So says the Gemara, it must be that the Mishnah subscribes to the idea of eina l'shchita el lebasof, that shchita only occurs at the end of the act. Therefore, when I steal an animal from Reuven, I bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, I'm slaughtering it, unconsecrated animal in the Azara. So it must be that what? That really the animal does become Asr as Chulin Ba'azara until when? Until when? Until the end of the act. The good news is, so to speak, the good news is that before the end of the act, I've already been slaughtering the animal of Reuven, which means what? That the liability for Arba v'Chamisha has already come about, and by the time that the animal becomes Asr as Chulin Ba'azara, at the end of the Shechita, I've already incurred the liability of Arba v'Chamisha. Because if you say that yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'atzof, that shchita is an act that begins from the beginning, from the first cut, and extends all the way through, the meaning that that's called shchita, then here's the problem. Then the moment I begin to shech that animal, what is that animal considered? What does it become? It becomes chulin ba'azara. If it becomes chulin ba'azara, then it is already aser. If it's already aser, then it turns out that what? I've done something aser, but what? I have not shechted a stolen animal. I've shechted an aser animal, chulin ba'azara animal, but not a stolen animal. Therefore, there will be no liability of arba v'chamisha. Amazing, amazing.
Three seconds.
It does, the act itself is very short. But the shayla is shchita called the end product, or is shchita called the beginning of the process? That's the fundamental yisod. So it says the Gemara, idach. I'm sorry, I'm the Rav Huna, the Rabba. So Rav Huna, so we'll say, so this again, so remember, Rav Chavivi of Chosna is just saying, the fact that our Mishnah says that you are chayiv arba v'chamisha for going ahead and shechting a stolen animal in the Azara, tells us that our Mishnah must reflect the view of Ein L'shchita El Lebasov, that the act of shechita only occurs at the end of the process. So Rav Huna, Rav Huna, ki kama chayiv, ahu porta. To which Rav Huna Rava says, no. When do you become chayiv ultimately again for the arba v'chamisha? You become chayiv already for the first little nick. In other words, that even if you hold yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'atzof, the idea, the liability for arba v'chamisha could be generated mamish at the very beginning, at the very moment of the beginning of the shchita. Amrli Rav Ashi, lo titchi. Amrli Rav Ashi, lo titchi. Utevacho kulo ba'inan v'leka. So we'll say, so Rav Ashi says, but come on, you can't give that answer. Why? Because what do we just establish in the previous Gemara? So we'll say, lo titchi means, Rav Huna, don't try to go ahead and set aside the kasha by giving a half an answer. Because remember, what did we just establish for Rav Osai? The word utevacho teaches us that what? That in order to be liable for arba v'chamisha, the act of slaughter must happen when, or must happen how, must happen in a complete state of iser. In other words, as we said before, that's why, remember, we gave this answer before, that's why if Reuben goes in and steals the animal from his father, And what happens? The father dies before Tvicho Mechira. Ruvain's not going to be Chayiv Arba V'Chamisha. Why? Because even though he subsequently slaughters it and sells it, the Tvachot, the slaughter, has to take place in a complete state of Isser. So over here also, in order to be liable for Arba V'Chamisha, the entire slaughter must take place in a complete act of Isser. Therefore, even if you want to tell me that at the time that he begins the slaughter, it's okay, but Lamaisa, as the slaughter goes on, by definition, that animal becomes Chulin Ba'azara. The moment it becomes chulin ba'azar, then what? It's no longer considered to be a stolen animal. It's an asr animal. If that's the case, how could there be ir arba v'chamisha? Elakasha. Rather, Rabbi will say, this is a good question. In other words, how do we have this case of chulin shenishchetu ba'azara that ultimately, again, generates arba v'chamisha? Now, again, remember, the one way you could set it up is the following. If you hold eino l'shchita ella basof, if you hold that the act of shchita really only occurs at the end, then you could set up this case. Why? I bring a stolen animal into the Beis HaMikdash and I begin to slaughter it. And here's the problem. So we thought the way it should work is, as long as you say that shchita is not until the end, so l'maisa, again, I shecht it, and the entire time that I shecht it, ultimately, again, I'm shechting a stolen animal. That generates an obligation of arba v'chamisha, and it's only at the end of that shechita that what? That what? That the animal becomes chulin ba'azara, becomes asr. So far we thought that works. The problem the Gemara says is, well, does it really work? Because at the end of the day, utavacho means that in order to become chayif arba v'chamisha, what has to happen? The entire act of slaughter, from beginning to end, has to take place under certain circumstances, under isra circumstances. But if you're telling me that the animal becomes asr as chulin ba'azar even at the end of the shechita, does that not preclude the possibility for arba v'chamisha, for devolving upon the animal? Mikzas simanim b'chutz v'gamar mivivdim. What's this interesting case? Now, what's the case over here? What's the case is where I shechted the animal. I started with the animal outside the Beis HaMikdash, and I shechted what we call mikzas simanim. What's that? Mikzas simanim really means the majority of the two simanim. Remember again, to shecht an animal, you have to shecht. We shecht the kana and the veshet, which is the esophagus and the windpipe. And the halacha is that you have to shecht the majority of those two simanim, and then the animal is kosher. That's the way it works. So says the Gemara like this. What's the case here? The case over here is where I had the animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash. I shechted the majority of the kana and the veshet. The majority, ultimately, again, of the windpipe and the esophagus. Shecht the majority of them outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we'll say, now what's the chav? If I shecht the majority of them outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then what does that do? Right? Remember, then shechting the majority of the siman. Remember, for shechita purposes, you don't have to shecht both of the siman. You just have to shecht the majority. So I've done a bona fide act of shechita outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and then what? I bring in the animal and I finish it up inside the Beis HaMikdash. So, in other words, normally what happens in Shechita is, even though you only have to shecht the majority of the two simanim, at the end of the day, what normally happens with Shechita is, you have to go ahead and, we normally end up shechting the whole thing. So the case over here is, I shechted the majority of the two simanim, which is a bona fide kosher Shechita, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, what's happened outside of the Beis HaMikdash? What's happening outside? Right? Arba v'chamisha. Arba v'chamisha. Good shechita, arba v'chamisha. But now I've brought it into the Beis HaMikdash. And also remember, any act of slaughter inside the Beis HaMikdash will create a chulin ba'azara circumstance. V'gamam b'bifnim. So far, that's the answer we're giving. And that's how, again, I can, so to speak, have my cake and eat it too. Right? It doesn't matter who would do it. Remember, it never matters who would do it. It matters just... do you remember? Right outside. Remember again, this doesn't have to be a 500-pound animal, right? Remember again, this could be a little shepsel, right? This is a 15-pound sheep that I'm taking from the outside. I'm bringing it right inside. And remember again, I both say, don't get caught up in the mechanics of how or why. All we need to do is figure out a case where it could work. So therefore, again, I'm slaughtering it outside. Rova of the simanim generates an obligation of arba v'chamisha. I bring it inside, finish off the shechita. That's chulin ba'azara. So we'll say that's the case where the ma'isa again can be chayif for arba v'chamisha and for chulin ba'azara afterwards. Amar Rabbi Shimon mishum de Rabbi Levi Saba, eino l'shechita el basof. So we'll say, Reb Shimon is saying Rav Levi Sava, that Shechita is only considered to have occurred at the end. Rav will say, Shechita is not a continuous process that begins from the first cut and extends until the completion. Rather, Shechita is a process that is considered to have occurred at the end. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yesh L'Shechita Mitzvah. So we'll say, you should see, this, by the way, we'll deal with this. We'll deal with this ultimately in Maseches Chulin. And this Machlokas, by the way, has actually many fascinating ramifications. So Gemara is just quoting it. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Yesh L'Shechita Mitzvah. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Shechita is a continuous process that begins from the first cut and extends all the way till the end. Omer v'chavivi michozna l'ravashi, shev chavivi v'chozna l'set ravashi, leima kasav Rabbi Yochanan, chulun sh'nishchitu ba'azar labdo raisa. So we'll say, you have to say, here's the problem. The case that we just set up, which is where what? I'm shechting the animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the majority of the two simanim, and then I'm bringing it inside of the Beis HaMikdash to complete the Shechita. So therefore, the Gemara is setting that up as a case where you can be chayiv arba v'chamisha, and also chayiv because of chulin shenishchetu ba'azara. That only works if what? If you hold, yesh eina l'shchita ela basof, right? But if you hold, yesh no l'shchita mitchila v'atzof, then the problem ultimately is then what Rav Osai, then there'll be an issue of simultaneity between the chulin shenishchetu ba'azara and the arba v'chamisha. So let me say it clearer, if you hold yesh no l'shchita mitchila v'atzof, then what ends up happening, Rav Osai, is shchita is one continuous act. If Shechita is one continuous act, then we're back exactly where we started, which is that even if you shech the majority of the simanim on the outside, if you complete it on the inside, that is one continuous act of Shechita. If that's one continuous act of Shechita, then Rabbi said, then the problem is, once the animal becomes chulin ba'azara, then by definition that bumps it out of the parish of Arba v'chamisha. Rather, it must be that Rabbi Yochanan, who holds yeshna l'shechita mitchila v'atzof, must hold that the isser of chulin ba'azara is not d'oraisa. And that's why I can have a case of, so to speak, partial simultaneous liability. That's why I can have a case where I shech the majority of the two simanim outside, finish it up inside, and I'm still going to be chayv arba v'chamisha. So Rav Yochanan, leimak as Rav Yochanan, chulin shnishchetu ba'azara lav d'oraisa, amad veiz, v'isak adaitcha d'oraisa, because if you hold that chulin shnishchetu ba'azara is d'oraisa, mishchi shachet leiporta asra, when you begin to shech it a little bit, it's going to be Yasser, as chulin ba'azara, the idach lav demari katavach, and the rest of it ultimately again is not considered to be the ownership of the owner, and therefore given the arba v'chamisha. Look at Rashi just in a moment. The issue is over here. If you hold yeshdon l'shchita mitchila v'atzof, watch this combination. If you hold yeshdon l'shchita mitchila v'atzof, if you hold that shchita is a continuous process, so therefore Rabbi said the process begins and ends, but it's one continuous process that is linked together. Every part of the process is linked with the other. And if you hold what? That chulin shnishchetu ba'azara is going to be aser. So Rabbi said, watch this. Even if you go ahead and you shech the majority of the two simanim outside, and you bring that animal and you shech the rest of it inside, those two acts are connected. Which means that when you go ahead and you do a little bit of shechita on the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, what happens? That animal becomes asras chulin ba'azara, which then what? Which then precludes the possibility of arba v'chamisha. So therefore it must be that Rabbi Yochanan, who holds yeshdon l'shechita mitchila v'atzof, who holds that the process of shechita is a continuous one, must hold that chulin ba'azara is only asr midirabanan. And therefore, in a case where you go ahead and you shech the majority of the two simanim on the outside, and you bring that animal inside, yes, there is an isr dirabanan, but that isr dirabanan will not trump arba v'chamisha. So the Gemara says, because the isakadai, let's just read that again. The isakadai chadaraisa, if you have the isra of chulin shenishchetu ba'azara, it's going to be an isra midaraisa. Michi shakat leiporta, when you shecked a little bit of the animal in the base of the shavosai, even if what? Even if it's the last part of the shechita inside, asura. Therefore, again, it becomes asur. And idach lav demarei katavach. And I will say, therefore, what? Anything else that you're shechting is no longer what? Is no longer considered to be the portion of the owner. To which the Gemara answers, no. What Rabbi Yochanan would say that you're chayiv for is even just a little bit of the shechita. What does that refer to? Take a look at Rashi. Who porta mechayiv dechihechi da v'shechita le'inyan chulin ba'azara b'tchilasa havenami tficha le'inyan tashlumin. So we'll say, no, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if you're yesh le'shechita mitchila v'atsof, the little bit of the beginning of the shechita could itself what? Could itself go ahead and aser, could itself... The same little bit of shechita that already begins the process of chulin shnei shechitu ba'azara, that same little bit of shechita could also go ahead and generate liability for arba v'chamisha. Amar Rav Ashi, lo titchek. So Rav Ashi says, how can you give such an answer like that? Utvacho kulon ba'inon v'leka. So we'll say, according to Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi says, how can you go ahead and give such an answer? How can you be docha with such a simple answer like that? After all, we said you need what? Utvacho. Utvacho means what they're both saying. That in order to ever be liable for arba v'chamisha, the entire act of slaughter has to take place in a state of iser. Therefore, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Gamli Nishei D'Rava, ki kamechayiv, ki gon sheshachat miktsas simanim b'chutz, v'gamra mibifnim. Oh, Rabbi said, this is amazing. So it turns out, the Gemara gives the same answer for Rabbi Yochanan as we gave for the other answers. Rabbi said, listen to this. Whether you hold, yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'atsof, or you hold, eina l'shchita ela l'basof, right? So ultimately, again, the same answer will work to establish the liability of the case of Chulin Ba'azara. In other words, I will say that once, if you go ahead and you take this animal and you shech the majority of the two simanim on the outside, which is a proper, valid, bona fide shechita, then you bring this animal on the inside to finish up the shechita, everyone will agree that you will be chayef for arba v'chamisha and you will be chayef for chulin shnei shechitu ba'azara. Why? Because if you hold yeshno l'shechita mitchila v'atsof, if you hold that shechita is one continuous process, that is true, but you've done a bona fide act of shechita outside of the Beis HaMikdash and therefore you're chayef arba v'chamisha. It is true because shechita is a continuous process, then what? You'll still be chayef for the additional slaughter you do on the inside. And if you hold eina l'shechita el l'basof, that shechita is only considered to be a bona fide act at the end. So still, I've done a bona fide act of shechita outside the Beis HaMikdash by shechting the majority of the two simonim, and then again, therefore, I'm chayiv arba v'chamisha, and the act of the subsequent shechita inside the Beis HaMikdash will make me liable ultimately again for chulin ba'azara. So we'll say, therefore, it turns out that the same case works for both shitos, but the machlokes is still one and the same, meaning the machlokes at the end of the day is still whether or not yeshno l'shechita mitchila v'atsof or eino l'shechita. So that machlokes stands. We're not resolving that here. We're just pointing out, according to both of those opinions, one case works to satisfy the criteria of the Mishnah. I'm shechting the animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the majority of both simonim. Therefore, I incur a liability of what? Arba v'chamisha. I've done a bona fide act of slaughter on a stolen animal. Then I bring in the animal to the Beis HaMikdash for the remainder of the slaughter. I will be chayiv ultimately again for chulin ba'azara. Says the Mishnah. Well, listen to this case. I stole an animal, and there are two witnesses that came and attested to the theft. So what happens? And I will say the same two witnesses go ahead and testify that what? That I slaughtered it as well. So the same two witnesses testified that I stole it. Same two witnesses testified that I slaughtered and sold it. Beninzu Zomin, those witnesses were found out to be Edom Zomin. So what happens to Edom Zomin? Say Edom Zomin, remember again, Reuven and Shimon testified that they saw me steal and then subsequently slaughter and sell the animal. Then it turns out two other witnesses come and say to Reuven and Shimon, Imanu Hayisem, you could not have seen what you are testified that you saw because you were with us at a different place. It became Edom Zomin. So I'll say, so remember again, the chiddush of Edom Zomin is reciprocal punishment, right? Va'asisem lo ka'asher zomam. You do to the witness, the punishment of the witnesses was you administer upon them the punishment they sought to go ahead and give to the defendant. So therefore, again, I will say in this case, based on the testimony of these witnesses, what would I have been chayiv? I would have been chayiv arba v'chamisha, right? For an act ultimately, again, of stealing and slaughtering. Therefore, mishalmin hakol. Therefore, these edim zomin will have to pay arba v'chamisha. Ganav apishnaim. We'll say if I went ahead and I stole, and there are two witnesses who saw the theft, V'tavach u'machar pishnayim achirim. Right? But what happens? Then there are two other witnesses who saw the tvicha mechira, saw the slaughter and the sale of the animal. Eilu ve'eilu nimtzim zomim. We'll say both set of witnesses become edim zomim. So we'll say, so what do they each have to pay? Harishon mishalmin tashlumei kefel. So the first set of witnesses have to pay kefel, because we'll say, remember, based on their testimony that I stole, I would have been chayiv kefel. Right? Double payment. Therefore, the first set of witnesses have to pay kefel. V'achron mishalmin tashlumei gimel. And we'll say, the second set of witnesses have to pay a three-time penalty. So we'll say, so what's the pshat three-time penalty? Based on their testimony, I would have had to pay what? Arba v'chamisha. So we'll say, remember again, when you pay arba v'chamisha, you don't pay kefel. Right? So we'll say, remember again, so you only, remember, so where there's a liability of arba v'chamisha, kefel gets swallowed up into that. Therefore, again, there could never be more than a total of four or five times of the principal paid back to the owner. Therefore, in this case, pay back to the defendant. So therefore, Rabbi say, if the first set of witnesses will be chayiv kefel, then at most the second set of witnesses could be chayiv is what? Is gimel. So the Gemara said, nimtu achronim zomin. So Rabbi say, listen to this. Let's say, however, in this case, only the second set of witnesses were found to be edim zomin. Remember, the second set of witnesses were the ones who testified that what? That I slaughtered and sold the animal. So who mishalim teshlumei kefel? So we'll say, and I remember, in this case, interestingly enough, the testimony of the first witnesses is still intact. Right? So therefore, the first witnesses testified that's what? That I stole. So I'm still chayiv kefel. V'heim mishalim gimel, teshlumei gimel. But the second set of witnesses, right, who lied about the tvicha and mechira, they'll have to pay gimel. Echel minach ronim zomimin. So we'll say, what happens is another interesting case. Let's say again, same case, two witnesses testified that I stole, a second set of witnesses testified that I slaughtered and sold. And then what happens? One of the witnesses of the second group become edim zomimin. So we'll say, so remember again, in order to impose a reciprocal zomimin punishment, both of the witnesses have to be edim zomim. In a case where only one of the witnesses remained edim zomim, then what? Butla edus shnia. So we'll say, if only one of the witnesses became edim zomim, then again, you can't impose the reciprocal zomim punishment, but the edus itself, the testimonial unit, is butl. So right, butla edus shnia. Let's listen to this case. Let's say one of the witnesses from the first group, that's the first group that claimed that I stole the object, became an edim zomim, became an ed zomim. So batla kol edus shem im gneva ein tivicha ve'mechira. We'll say this is fascinating. So remember again, if one of the witnesses from the first group, whether the whole group, one of the witnesses from the first group becomes disqualified, then what? Then not only is the first group disqualified, but that automatically disqualifies what? The second set of witnesses on. Now, I want to be clear. It doesn't make the second set of witnesses into edim zomim. It just what? It just disqualifies their edus. Why? Logically. Because if there's no edus on the theft, then what? Then there can't be edus on the tvicha u'mechira. So therefore, once the edus on the theft is disqualified, then, because remember, Bosai, now, there's still edus that what? That I sold and slaughtered. But what? Fine. I slaughtered my own animal. Right? Meaning, if somebody comes along and says that I went ahead and I slaughtered a chicken, shkayach, it was my chicken. So the idea over here is that if there's no edus about the theft, so if the edus of the theft has been disqualified either, because both edim have become edim zomim, I don't even need that. All I need is one witness of the set to be disqualified, then by definition, the edus on the tzvicha mechira falls away as well. So let's just begin this next section. This is amazing. Itmar, ed zomim. We'll say, listen to this. When a witness becomes a zomim, right? When a witness becomes disqualified, this is fascinating. Abayi amr lemafreya hu nifso, rava amr mikano lahaba hu nifso. We'll say, listen to this machlokes. This, by the way, this has earth-shaking ramifications. When a witness becomes an eid zomim, so we'll say, how do we gauge the disqualification? Abaye says, when you become an eid zomim, that disqualification is retroactive. Rava says, the disqualification is only what? Mikana lahaba, from this point going forward. Abaye said, look at Rashi now. What does this mean, retroactive? The obvious kash is what? Retroactive to when? Right? How far back are we taking this? So watch this. Says Rashi, the mafreya nifso, heyed b'nisan, v'huzam al eidus zubiyah. So let's listen to this. Let's say Reuven gave eidus in Nisan, and he became an eid zomim in Iyar. So he gave the testimony in Nisan, and he became an eid zomim about that testimony a month later. A month later in Iyar. Also listen to this. So let's say in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Reuven shows up in Beis Din, gives testimony. Then what happens? In ER, witnesses come along and say, you could have never given that testimony in Nisan. You were with us. He becomes an Eid Zomim. And subsequently, between that testimony in Nisan and between this Azama in ER, he's signed on a whole bunch of Shtaros, or he's gone ahead and he served as a witness. Abaye says, anything he has done, from the time that he gave that original, now it turns out to be false testimony in Nisan, is all disqualified. All of that is disqualified. Rava says, no, not true, only mikanu lahaba. He's only disqualified from what? From the moment that he's proven to be an Eid Zomim. From this point forward, he's an Eid Zomim, but we do not extend that status backwards. We'll stop over here. I told you, earth-shaking machlokas. Hopefully you could sleep tonight, but Amir Tz Hashem, again, we're going to continue with it, Amir Tz Hashem, tomorrow.
So, Eid Zomim, once he's told a lie, he's not going
It's not just the lie. I mean, there's a process of hasama. It has to be proven that he could not have witnessed what he saw you witnessed.